Our subject this morning is going to be the sure mercies of David. The sure mercies of David. We thought we would consider this subject, which should be of interest to you. The Lord tells us in the 50, it tells of it in the 55th chapter of the prophet Isaiah. Paul relates it to us in Acts, the 13th chapter. And Ethan, the Israelite, Israelite, in the Psalm 89. Now, starting with Isaiah, we'll cover the entire 55th chapter, starting with the first verse. And you might turn to that chapter for your, if you have your scriptures, your Bible. And we'll read this. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat of that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Now, this first verse is an invitation. Come to the waters. Buy wine and milk with no money. Water is a symbol of truth. The invitation is only to those who desire the water of life, applicable to those of this age, spoken of by our Lord in John 4, 13 and 14, where he says, Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh the water that I will give shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up in everlasting life. But this water will also be applicable to those of the millennial ages. We're reading Revelation 17, 7, 17, 7, 17. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them into living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from all their eyes. The invitation is to partake of this water of life through obedience to the truth and its sanctifying power. It is compared to the exhilarating influence of wine and milk, which those who partake have no money or exchange, but may have it without price. Yes, this water of life is given without price through the precious blood of Christ. This is the good news of redemption and restitution to eternal life through the sacrifice of our Lord. As we read in Matthew 26, 28, For this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many, that is all, for the remission of sins. We, during this period of the gospel age, had no money, nothing to give for this wonderful commodity. It was given to us at no cost. The second verse tells us that this invitation is for those called to be members of the Lord's body, those desiring the truth, who have been diligently looking and searching in vain, spending their money for that which is not bread. They labor in vain only to find the various creeds of Christianity conflicting with one another, saying to those bewildered, This is the way of truth, walk ye in it. To those confused with the conflicting doctrines of so-called truth, the Lord counsels to leave that which is unsatisfying and partake of the satisfying truth of his word. Saying, Hearken diligently unto me, eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. In other words, this is the divine plan of God, which in these days has been unfolded to us as meat in due season to the household of faith. Being time sensitive, at the end of this gospel age, we are told of those in this condition, as we're reading in Revelation 18:4. And I heard another voice out of heaven saying, "Come forth out of her, my people, that you may partake of her, not partake of her sins, that you may not receive of her plagues." For those remaining in the confused system, they are blinded against the truth, the lack of knowledge of the truth, and continue to spend their money, influence, and labor on those things not bread, and that which is does not satisfy. But there is a satisfying portion, that which is good, which will delight in fatness, and as we will read into those thirsty ones, "Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. Turn away from the conflicting creeds and incline your ear toward God's precious words in faith, accepting the true testimony of the Lord, not of men. Come and hear my word, that your soul may or being may live." To those who incline their ears, as we read in verse 3 through 6 of Isaiah 55, and accept his invitation, a special promise is given above the promise of life and those satisfying portions of this gift of faith. Continuing in Isaiah 55, 3 through 6. "Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander of the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that knoweth not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." In reprint 35:96, the pastor says here, "The new covenant, the everlasting covenant, the sure mercies of David, the beloved, is to be proffered to all. That new covenant, as the apostle points out, is the divine agreement to be merciful, to forgive, to cancel sins that are past. I will put my law in their minds and write it upon their hearts, and I will be to them a God. They shall be to me a people. I will be merciful to the unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more." Read from Hebrews, but this is originally cited in Jeremiah 31, 29 through 34. But in here, Hebrews 8, 8 through 13, we read, "For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them up by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write it upon their hearts, and will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. They shall not teach any man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins, and their iniquities will I remember no more. And then he saith, A new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is already to vanish away." The sure mercies of David are the mercies guaranteed to Israel and the world through his greater Son, our Lord. The real David, the real beloved, shall be the divine channel for the outpouring of the blessings and mercies of the Abrahamic covenant. Of this typical David, or antitypical David, it is written, "Behold, I have given him for a witness for the people, a leader and a commander of the people. This is the great prophet, the great priest, the great king, typified by Moses and Melchizedek, and the kings of the line of David. Behold, he shall call a nation not previously known, a new nation called during the gospel age, a holy nation, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, to show forth the praises of him who called him out of darkness into his marvelous light." 1 Peter 2:9. And ultimately, as a result of this calling of spiritual Israel as a holy nation, and as a result of the establishment of the kingdom and glorification of his holy nation, with himself as at the head, because the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, will glorify these. Therefore, many nations that previously knew him not shall run unto him because of his being glorified. Throughout the millennial age, there will be a grand opportunity for every member of Adam's race to seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near. The opportunity will last for 1,000 years, and all will be invited to drink of the water of life freely. All appreciating the situation fully may attain to all that was lost in Adam, attain it through the process of restitution. It is during the times of restitution of all things, the times of refreshing, that Christ will judge the world in righteousness, granting to all mankind a full knowledge and opportunity to return to favor and everlasting life. For those who will not conform and improve, the admonition of verse 7 of Isaiah 55 is given, where we read, "Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." It will be at that time that the words of Acts 3 will apply. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, "A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, and him shall ye hear in all things, whatever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." It will not be a time for pardoning wicked men, but for pardoning those who desire to forsake their wicked ways and thoughts. Nor are we to understand that the forsaking of their sin brings us a pardon aside from the sacrifice of Christ. This is merely stating the conditions upon which all during the millennial age will share its favors. Continuing on to Isaiah 55, 8 through 11. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways, saith the Lord." How true this is, for mankind cannot understand the permission of evil, death, or not even the reason for the gift of his son as a ransom. Truly, his ways and means are far above the reasoning of man. Continuing in Isaiah 55, 9 through 11. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it forth, bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the living thing and the thing that were unto I sent it. In reprint 1364, we read, these verses take note of the present blindness of mankind respecting the gracious character of God, that they will not believe such a gracious message even when it is called to their attention. God reasons with such and shows them why they do not believe that he will be so gracious as he here promises, saying, my plans are not as you would plan, nor my ways of executing my plan such as you would surmise. Mine are higher than yours. These my promises are sure to bring blessings ultimately to all, whether they hear or whether they forbear, whether or not they seek the Lord when he thus draws near. My blessings are now extended to all. The rising sun upon the just and the unjust, the rain coming down from the upon the evil and the good, so shall my word that go be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where I sent it. I have declared that in the seed of Abraham, that is Christ and the elect church, all the families of the earth shall be blessed, and the whole earth shall be filled by our glory, although men may count me slack and suppose that this promise, and also the promise of bring punishment upon the wicked, will never be fulfilled. They are mistaken. They overlook the fact that for 1,000 years with men are as but one day with me. The day so long promised shall come, the day of blessing and restitution to all who shall prove their faithfulness, their righteous love of righteousness, the day of vengeance upon all who shall prove their love of iniquity. 2 Peter 3:8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Continuing to the end of this chapter in Isaiah 55:12-13. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in singing, and all trees of the field shall clap their hands. Indeed, instead of the thorn shall come the fir tree. Instead of the bitter briar shall come the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. For those who go out, that is, out of the prison house of death, shall go out with joy and be kept in peace. The mountains and hills, that is, the ruling powers of the earth and the field, trees of the field, all mankind, shall rejoice in the wonderful blessings of life in its ultimate sense. Instead of the thorn, any who wounds and injures his fellow creatures shall be the fir tree, representative of man possessing everlasting life, having inherent grace and fatness, the fullness, the glorious provision which the Lord has made for them, which will then be opened before them by the mediatorial reign. Well, next we will consider the account of Paul in Acts, the 13th chapter. You can turn with me to Acts 13:30 through 34. But God raised him, that is Jesus, up from the dead, And he was seen of many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you the glad tidings that how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus again, as it is written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And that's concerning that which he raised him up from the dead. Now, no more to return to corruption, he said in this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Now, earlier in this chapter, in this 22nd verse, we read, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto him David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. David was the beloved of the Lord. But seeing he had many faults, how can it be said that he was a man after God's own heart? Well, in spite of his weaknesses, his heart was full of loyalty and faith toward God, and did God's service, serving the law of God, those things which we as new creatures are admonished to do and be. In that, in our time, we have been begotten of the Spirit, and having the mind of Christ, being closer to the heart of God, and having higher standards than David. The name David signifies beloved. And as the Apostle Paul tells us in our second reference, as he relates the resurrection of our Lord by the Heavenly Father, and tells us that these prophecies relating to David really applied to our Lord, for David was a figure of our Lord. And these sure mercies we find in Acts applied to our Lord, as stated in the 34th verse, as concerning he was raised up from the dead, now no more to be returned to corruption, he said, I will give you the sure mercies of David. The sure mercies were the holy promises that now belong to our Lord by his faithful sacrifice, and which we as members of his body will share when we too are found faithful. The words of Nathan the prophet, as he spoke to David, refers to the blessing of this kingdom as pictured in David and Solomon, and the testing and participation of a class of sons to share with our Lord. This is given in 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 16, which we read and comment on here. And when thy days be fulfilled, that is, David picturing the work of the gospel age, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, that is, Solomon picturing the work of the millennial age, which shall proceed out of the mouth of thy bowels and will establish his kingdom. That is the reign of Solomon, picturing the reign of Christ. In the 13th verse, and he shall build a house for my name. Yes, the spiritual house of sons, the temple of the Lord. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. That's the final confirmation of the Abrahamic covenant, that his kingdom would bring blessings to all mankind. In the 14th verse, and I will be his father, and he shall be my son. Yes, this is the true relationship of the Heavenly Father to his son and to those who have become his sons. Now, if he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of children of men. For those sons, the tender care of the Father ensures that through trials and testings, the loyalty of our hearts is found faithful and true, What son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Hebrews 12, 7. In the 15th and 16th verse, but my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Here again is the promise of a kingdom which will quote from Repent 32:59. The fulfillment of this promise to David is nevertheless secure. Sure is the word of the oath of the Almighty. And we, who are by nature Gentiles, but who have been betrothed to Abraham's great son and David's great son, the Lord, are still looking forward to and praying patiently, waiting for the fulfillment of the promise, saying, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, even as our Lord taught us to do. As soon as this antitypical David, beloved, shall have assumed the reins of government at the time appointed by the Father, he, as the antitype also of Solomon in the natural plane, will build the Lord's house, and his throne shall be established forever. For it is the throne of the kingdom of Jehovah. And although in its mediatorial sense it will terminate with the close of the millennial age, yet in its still higher sense it will continue through all eternity, because David's son and Lord has been associated with the Father in his throne, and his bride shall be with him where he is, and shall share his glory according to the promise. In 2 Samuel 7:17, according to these words, and according to all his vision, did Nathan the speak unto David. Now, referring to the Acts 13:34, we consider the sure mercy of David. Now, turning to Psalm 89:19 through 37, we find the sure mercies of David enumerated. Summarized, they point out five mercies or promises guaranteed by the Heavenly Father to his firstborn, including you, dear brethren. For here David is representing Christ, head and body. Number one, that the Lord would anoint him to be a great king, and that he would establish his throne forever, as long as the sun and the moon endure. Two, that no enemy should have advantage over him, but that all should be made subservient to him. Three, that God's covenant to bless all the families of the earth should stand fast with him, or be fulfilled by his reign. Four, that his children, by redemption and regeneration, should have such reformatory discipline under his reign as would be necessary for their correction and establishment in righteousness. And five, and that all the willing and obedient who should profit by the discipline shall endure forever, that thus he might see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Brother, we're going to ask you to turn to your Bibles to the Psalm 89. We're going to ask you to participate in this reading. We'll begin at the 19th verse. And I thought we would ask you to participate here. Brother Ron, would you read the first two verses of the Sure Mercies in Psalm 89, 19 and 20.
Psalm 89, 19 and 20. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of thy people. I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him.
Thank you. Well, David is introduced here as a typical character representing Christ, primarily our Lord Jesus, but subsequently the Christ complete, head and body. In the meekness of his youth, his loyalty to God, his faithfulness, zeal, courage, and wise discretion, David's character was a very beautiful type of the beloved one, to whom God referred when he said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. Our Lord Jesus is the mighty one, upon whom the help of the world is laid. He is the great deliverer, but it has pleased God to associate him in the great work of the gospel, the church of the gospel age, the elect little flock whose names are written in heaven. These, all chosen out of the people, constitute that one body which, with Christ Jesus their head, shall bless all the families of the earth. These members of his body possess the vital characteristics of their head. These are they we described earlier in Isaiah 55, who hunger and thirst after righteousness, whose souls thirst after God as a hart for water brooks, and who, having found him, have consecrated themselves to him and received the anointing of the Holy Spirit, witnessing with their spirits that they are the sons of God, and who, as anointed sons, can discover in themselves the worthy traits of true sons, that of loyalty, faithfulness, zeal, energy, courage, discretion, love, and so forth. These constitute the class with whom the Lord has made an everlasting covenant, and to whom belong the sure mercies of David. Continuing on in Psalm 89, we ask Sister Janice to read verses 21 and 22.
With whom my hand shall be established, mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him.
Thank you, Sister Janice. It is by the hand, that is, by the power and dominion of Christ, shall the kingdom be established. The arm of support and strength of the Heavenly Father will strengthen him in his preparatory work of sacrifice, and the enemy, Satan, and all aligned with him, shall have no advantage over him. Nor will the mystery of iniquity, here stated the son of wickedness, have any power over him. These evil designs will be overruled to work for good, as we read in Romans 8:28. All things work for good. Continuing, verses 23 and 24, actually, 23 through 25. Brother Randy, could you read that for us?
And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague those who hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers.
Thank you, Brother Randy. His authority and power, his horn, will be exalted. And in the 27th Psalm, we read in verses 2 and 3, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. No enemy will be formed against the anointed. His power will control all restless masses of mankind, the seas and the rivers. And as he calmed the storm, so with the time of trouble which we are in, he will declare finally, peace be still. Sister Junko, could you read verse 89:26?
He shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation.
Thank you. And even in the midst of our earthly course of trial and sacrifice, we have communion and fellowship with God and realize his fatherly love and care and rejoice in his salvation. Continuing on, Sister Judy, could you read verses 27 through 29?
Also, I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven.
Thank you. Christ and his body members, the church of the firstborn, will be made higher than the kings of the earth. His mercy, or kinesed, loving kindness, will last forever. And his covenant, the Abrahamic, and more particularly the new covenant, will stand fast. His seed, the restored race of mankind, his children will endure forever, everlasting life. His throne will also endure forever. And we're reminded of Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there should be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even now forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And we're told in Psalm 45, instead of thy father shall be thy children, who thou mayest make princes in all the earth. Continuing on, Sister Millie, could you read verses 30 through 33?
Psalm 89:30. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail.
Thank you. The Heavenly Father, speaking of his children, if his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with a rod and with their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. We read in Psalm, 2 Psalm 2:8 through 11, Ask of me, and I shall give the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for my possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now be wise, therefore, O kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Continuing to the end of our study, and Sister Betty, could you read verses 34 through 37?
My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven.
Thank you. We have the assurance that this Abrahamic and its promise of a new covenant will be not fail to be fulfilled. The scriptures abound with this pledge and oath of the Heavenly Father. In Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. And in Psalm 132:11, the Lord has spoken, sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set thee upon the throne. As fulfilled in Solomon is the type of a greater son of David, typical of the millennial reign of Christ. And Isaiah 55:11, which we read before, so shall my word go out of forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper into the thing where I sent it. And finally, in Hebrews, the sixth chapter, 16 through 19. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation to them, an end of all strife, wherein God willingly, more abundantly, to show unto them the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge and lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that which is in within the veil. Such are the sure mercies of David, thus divinely assured to each one of you as you make your calling and election sure as glorified members of the body of Christ. May the Lord add his blessing and overrule anything said amiss.